grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate on our gospel reading today from Matthew 21. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The authority of Jesus is an important theme. And it's important right throughout the Gospels, and it's especially important in today's reading in Matthew 21, the authority of Jesus. Early on in Matthew, we hear that Jesus taught as one who had authority. And then at the very end of Matthew, we hear that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And between that, we hear quite a bit about his authority as well, especially today where we get an insight into what the authority of Jesus does and doesn't mean. Now, when the Bible talks about authority, it's talking about a kind of delegated power or responsibility to act in a certain way. So an example is from these days is last weekend I took a wedding, and as part of a ceremony, I say these words: as a servant of God and by the authority of the Commonwealth of Australia, I declare them to be husband and wife. So it's a delegated power or responsibility to act in a certain way, to do a certain thing, to announce two people married. It's a great joy, it's a great privilege, and it's a whole lot of paperwork. But that all goes along with the authority and the responsibility to act in a certain way. So it's a really important word in the Bible, this word authority. It's not necessarily a very popular word nowadays, and it's not necessarily a very well understood word either, but it's a very important word in the Bible. It comes up 4 or 5 times in today's reading. So I want us to reflect on the authority of Jesus, the question about his authority, first the challenge to his authority, the question about his authority, and the parable on his authority. Firstly, the challenge. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Now, Jesus has just created a real stir in the temple by coming in and turning over the tables of the money changers and driving out the buyers and the sellers. You remember that? That's just happened. And that little act of defiance has not gone unnoticed. Now he's back in the temple, and the religious authorities there in the temple want to know what gives him the right to act in this way, to do these things that he's doing. Who's in charge around here, we sometimes ask. And that's what they want to know. Who's in charge around here? What makes you think you can come in and speak like this and act like this? Now, when people ask those sort of questions, they tend to be somewhat loaded. It's not information gathering. It's not fact-checking. They're leveling an accusation at him. And in this situation, they're sort of setting a trap for him as well. If Jesus says that what he's doing is by some divine authority, he's in trouble with the Romans because they are the authority. If he says that it's not by any sort of divine or godly authority, then he's rejected by the Jews because no one can come in and do the things he's doing unless they carry some divine authority. So it's a lose-lose situation. And that's the point of the question, to put Jesus in a lose-lose situation. And that's also why he doesn't play their game. Now, it's not a bad thing to challenge authority in one sense. And Australians tend to be quite good at it. For us, criticising our leaders is kind of a national pastime, and we quite enjoy it and do it quite well. But the Bible's pretty clear that authority itself is a good thing, that it's got a good purpose, that we're supposed to honour it, respect it, work together with our leaders, and especially that we're supposed to pray for them. And that comes up time and time again in the Bible, that we're supposed to pray for those in positions of responsibility or authority. And that's helpful because the more we pray for someone, the less we tend to criticize them. Just how it seems to work. So, for example, we may think about Daniel Andrews at the moment, Premier of Victoria, and we may think he's got a few things wrong in the last few months, and he may well have. But the more important question for us is, how much have we prayed for him? How fervently have we prayed for him? And for the rest of our leadership, I mean, who would want to be a state premier in 2020? Who would want that job? And yet our job, our calling in the Bible is pray for your leaders. Work with them, not against them. And what we get in Matthew 21 is sort of an interesting scenario where Jesus at the same time is challenging authority and validating it. Where Jesus is challenging a false sense of authority or a misuse of authority and validating and holding up a genuine, true example of what authority is and should be. So we get both. Okay, the question. Jesus says, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. John's baptism, heavenly authority or human origin? What do you think? It's a switcheroo, right? Putting them in the same position they're trying to put him in. Because if they say it's from heaven, then okay, they're culpable for not having listened to John and not following John. If they say it's of human origin, then they fear the people, it says. They fear the people because the people think John's a prophet. The people love John. And if they didn't listen to John, then there's a problem there. And I think this starts to get to the heart of this leadership. They're real people pleasers. And that it's a tendency many of us have, and particularly people in authority, is that they're very keen to please people. So you watch the approval ratings go up and down, and that's how you judge yourself. And it's not just leaders who do this. We all do this, but leaders especially have this tendency, and it's really, really dangerous. Because what happens with these religious leaders of Jesus' day is they set themselves on this path, this trajectory, and it leads to them presiding over the greatest injustice of all time, the condemnation of Christ, where they hand him over to the crowds. That's what happens when we make people's opinion of us and the crowd our greatest authority. It can't be. It just can't be the greatest authority in our life. We can listen to people, we can respect what people think about us and what they say about us or otherwise, but we cannot let that public opinion define us and be like our guiding principle for life. It's a dangerous, perilous path to walk. So Jesus answers their question with his own question, which is also kind of a veiled answer to the original question, if that makes sense. Because what he's saying is that he does have a certain authority that he comes with. But he's not about to explain that to them when they're simply trying to catch him out. One commentator puts it like this: the peculiar power of this whole incident is that it both effectively hides and yet mysteriously announces Jesus' authority. And it damningly shows up the leadership's incurable incompetence in the things that concern him. I mean, this should have been their bread and butter, right? They were the religious leaders of the day. They were to teach and proclaim the coming Messiah, and here he is, and they've completely missed it. And their answer to his question is telling when they say, "We don't know. We don't know." I can just imagine Jesus thinking, "Yeah, you're right, you don't know. Finally, we're getting somewhere." That's maybe the point they need to get to, so that he can reveal to them what he needs to. Okay, what Jesus doesn't do is he doesn't answer their question directly. What he does do is to give them an illustration, a parable, a little story to help them understand. "What do you think," he says, "a man had these two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go work in the vineyard.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, I will go, sir. But he did not. Which of the two did the will of his father? So you get the father in the parable who's the picture of authority, and you get the two sons. And one of them initially is pretty disrespectful and pretty uninterested, and he says, no way, no way am I going to work for you. You know, you couldn't pay me enough. You're dreaming, old man. It's not going to happen. And yet he goes. And then you get this other son who's incredibly respectful. I will go, sir. And from what we can tell, has every intention of going, or at least seems to, seems willing, seems interested, and yet he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. And so they stand as this picture of the two groups of people that Jesus often encountered and worked with, the tax collectors and the prostitutes on one hand, who kind of, that they stand for the great unwashed, you know, the masses who seem to just disregard God and walk away from God. And yet when John came and preached the message and repentance, they turned back. They turned back. And then you get this religious leadership, the authorities of the day, who seemed so respectable and reverent and honest and good and hardworking people. And when John came and said, you need this too, they turned away from him. And they wouldn't be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And they refused. So who was their authority? I mean, at best it was Moses and the law. At worst, it's just themselves. They want to be a law unto themselves. They want to be autonomous. That's what autonomy is. It's being a law unto ourselves. And that's what they wanted. And that's what we all want in some ways. And it's probably why leaders abuse their power and authority all the time. And it's probably why citizens are overly critical of their leadership all the time. And it's probably why we tend to oscillate between wanting no one to tell us how to live and no one to tell us what to do, and then lapping up sort of like self-help books and gurus and celebrities and, you know, influencers online and anyone who will give us any sense of authority and direction and leadership. I mean, why do we do that? What? Because we need authority in our lives. We need a real, genuine guide over our lives. And Jesus says, yeah, that's what I've come to be and to bring. And it's an authority which is so helpful because it takes the burden of responsibility off us for our entire lives and says, I've created these lives. The burden for them is mine. And it's an authority that helps us focus on what is right in front of us, not what's over us and too much for us, but what's right in front of us. And it's an authority that is deeply humble and deeply humbling. So much so that most of the time, Jesus refuses to even defend it. That's how humble it is. You know, it says in Philippians 2 that though he was in nature God, he didn't consider that something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. The authority of God is always exercised in the service of others. That's how it operates. It's an authority that's enacted through God's word as it forgives sin and heals broken hearts, and there is no heart that is too broken for him to heal. That's the consistent message of the scriptures. And it's an authority that allows me to stand up on a Sunday and say, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. I mean, what makes me think I can say that? Unless he's authorized me to, given me that task. And it's an authority that's at work in baptism, and it's at work in communion to deliver the grace of God to you. That's what this authority does. It's an authority that's over you, it's ruling over you, it's under you, it's serving you, it's around you, it's embracing you. It's the authority that we need. And it's the authority we have in Christ. And it's an authority that frees us. It frees us from having to be our own authority. So friends, let us humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, that in due time he may lift us up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Christ Jesus you reveal your authority to us, and it's an authority which is over all things, and yet it also serves all things, and it's deeply humble and humbling. Lord, may it humble us this day as we bow our knee before your throne in heaven, as we confess our sin, as we receive your grace, as we are restored to go out and live under authority and with authority, and to practice it dutifully but also humbly. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.